All right, so you know how like every business leader kind of freaks out when the economy goes all wonky? Yeah, well today we're tackling that very question. What's the best move when things get shaky, you know? Play it safe or like go all in? It's that whole expansion versus retrenchment thing, and we're gonna unpack it with some seriously smart research from Luxure Business Consulting. They're the ones behind that blog post with case studies. Netflix and Starbucks, super different approaches, but both worked, right? And then the Luxure also has this cool four-step framework for decision making that we'll get into.
You know, the thing is, neither expansion nor retrenchment is like a magic bullet. It's all about finding the right balance for your specific situation. And Luxure does a great job laying it all out, you know, making a roadmap for those tough calls.
Totally. Okay, so before we dive into those case studies, let's just like level set. When you say expansion, what are we actually talking about?
It's like pushing the boundaries, you know, entering new markets, maybe launching a new product line, or even expanding your existing operations. It's about growth and reaching more people.
Okay. And retrenchment. That's got to be more on the defensive side,
Yeah,
right?
in a way it is. It's like consolidating and focusing on what you're good at. Sometimes that means streamlining operations, cutting costs, maybe pulling back from areas that aren't as profitable just to conserve resources, you know?
No, and so it's not just about blindly growing or shrinking. It's about choosing strategically based on what's going on. Kind of like what Netflix did during the 2008 recession. They went all in on expansion.
Oh, yeah, they did. While everyone else was hunkering down, Netflix took a big risk, investing heavily in international streaming. And guess what? It paid off big time.
I remember that time. I was just trying to survive. But Netflix, it's like they had this superpower to spot opportunity in the middle of all the chaos. Luxure pulls out this amazing insight from their strategy. They said, identify emerging markets or underserved customer segments where your core competencies meet unmet needs. So it wasn't just random expansion, it was about finding the right spots for growth.
Exactly. They saw that global demand for streaming was exploding, and they were in the perfect spot to capitalize on it. And to make those decisions, you know, they must have used a ton of data analysis and market research. Think about it. They had to look at demographics, internet access in different countries, even cultural preferences, all to figure out which markets had the most potential. Find those underserved segments where their streaming expertise matched up with the need for good entertainment options.
Okay, so it's not enough to just have a great product. You have to know the market and find the right fit. Which makes me think about Starbucks. They took a totally different route during that same recession.
They did. Instead of expanding, they focused on retrenchment, closed underperforming stores, streamlined operations, doubled down on their core brand. It was a strategic move to consolidate and ride out the storm, you know.
It's crazy how two companies can face the same problems but choose such different paths. And they both came out on top. So retrenchment, it's not always a bad thing. It can be a way to regroup and get ready for future growth. Luxure says it well. Streamlining operations can free up resources for innovation while ensuring stability in core areas. Focus on efficiency without compromising your brand's value.
Yeah, it's like cleaning out your closet, getting rid of what you don't need so you can focus on what matters. Starbucks knew their value was that premium coffee experience and the community feel, so they made those elements even better, streamlined everything, made it more efficient, you know, something that could handle the downturn.
So we've got two very different ways to deal with uncertainty. One going for aggressive expansion, the other strategic retrenchment. But how do you choose the right path for you?
That's where Luxure's four-step decision-making framework comes in. It's like a roadmap for those tough choices.
Okay, so let's break down that framework. What's the first step?
First step is all about assessing the landscape. Imagine like a ship captain looking at their charts before setting sail. That's what we're doing here, understanding the terrain, the potential dangers, figuring out the best route to get where we want to go.
So it's about gathering information, understanding what we're dealing with, but where do you even begin?
There are a few tools we can use. One is a SWOT analysis, stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. It's a way to assess where you are, both internally and externally, you know, helps you find your advantages and your weak spots and any opportunities or threats that are out there.
So it's like a 360-degree scan of your business environment, but how do you actually get that information?
Market research is key. You need data on customer behavior, industry trends, what your competitors are doing. There are tons of resources out there, industry reports, market research firms, even online tools, all to help you gather and analyze this data.
Okay, so we're talking surveys, focus groups, maybe even looking at what's trending on social media. Sounds pretty intense.
It can be. And there's another tool Luxure mentions. Might sound a little futuristic. Using AI models for competitor benchmarking. Platforms like Sentisum, Thematic, Brandwatch, Semrush, they use AI to analyze massive amounts of data and give you insights into your competitors, their strategies, customer sentiment, their online presence, all that.
Whoa, AI for business, that's wild. But how does it actually work?
Take Sentisum, for example. It uses natural language processing to analyze customer reviews, social media posts, online conversations, to understand how people feel about your competitors' products or services, gives you valuable insights into their strengths and weaknesses, helps you find ways to differentiate yourself.
So instead of just guessing what your competitors are up to, you get data-driven insights into how they're doing and how customers see them. That's pretty amazing.
It is, and these AI tools are getting better all the time. They can track brand mentions, analyze social media engagement, even predict future trends. It's like having a secret weapon for your business.
Okay, so we've assessed the landscape, gathered all this data. What's the next step in Luxure's framework? Okay, so we've got the lay of the land. We know what the competition's up to. What's next?
Step two is all about defining your core competencies, basically figuring out what makes your business special, what you do better than anyone else.
So it's about finding those superpowers, the things that give you an edge. But shouldn't you already know that? I mean, it's your business, right?
You'd think so, huh? But sometimes you get to dig a little deeper to really nail down what those core competencies are. It's not just about the products or services. It's the skills, the knowledge, the processes that make you unique. Understanding the why behind your success.
Okay, I see how this connects to the bigger picture. When you're dealing with uncertainty, knowing your strengths is crucial. Helps you make better decisions about where to put your resources, whether you're expanding or retrenching.
Exactly. It's if you're a ship in a storm, you got to know what your ship can handle. How fast can it go? How well does it ride the waves? What are its limits? Knowing your core competencies is like knowing your ship inside and out. Gives you the confidence to make those strategic decisions, even when things get rough.
I like that analogy. So how do you actually define those core competencies?
It takes some soul searching and analysis, looking at your past wins and losses. Figure out what you've always been good at. What sets you apart from the competition? Ask yourself some questions. What do your customers love? What are your employees proud of? What are your competitors struggling to copy?
So you're listening to your customers, your employees, even watching your competitors, getting information from everywhere to get a full picture of your strengths.
Right, and don't be afraid to go deep. Sometimes those core competencies aren't obvious. It could be a special process, a unique skill set, even a company culture that encourages innovation. It's about finding those hidden gems that give you an advantage.
All right, so we've analyzed the external landscape. We've defined our core competencies. Time to get creative now, right? Tell me about step three. Innovate with intention. That sounds exciting.
This is where we put all those insights into action. But it's not about chasing every new trend or reinventing the wheel. It's about developing initiatives that fit with both your short-term needs and your long-term vision. Being strategic and purposeful with your innovation.
So it's about finding that balance between tackling immediate challenges and staying focused on the big picture. Being practical and visionary, that sounds like a tough act.
Can be, but that's where understanding your core competencies helps. It keeps your innovation focused on areas where you have a natural advantage, where you can really shine.
So instead of trying to be everything to everyone, you're using your strengths to create meaningful innovation, something that resonates with your target audience. And Luxure suggests piloting low-risk initiatives before going all in. That's going to be a smart way to manage risk, especially when the economy is uncertain.
Oh, absolutely. It's like testing the waters, trying out new ideas without betting everything. Imagine sending a small boat to check out a new waterway before sending your whole fleet.
Yeah, a way to get feedback, learn from mistakes, refine your approach before making a big investment. I love that idea. But what if you don't know where to start? Where do you find those low-risk opportunities to innovate?
Mm-hmm. One way is to look at how you can improve your existing products or services. Can you add a feature that solves a specific customer problem? Can you streamline a process to be more efficient? Can you create a more personalized experience? Those small changes can have a big impact on your overall performance.
So it's not always about huge sweeping changes. Sometimes the small tweaks make all the difference. It's about finding those opportunities for continuous improvement. But what about expanding into new areas? How do you find those growth opportunities while still managing risk?
LaLuxure talks about the power of partnerships, teaming up with another business that has complementary strengths. By joining forces, you can create new offerings that meet those emerging customer needs and open up new markets, all without taking on all the risk yourself.
That makes sense. Pooling your resources and expertise to achieve something bigger. It's like a built-in support system for navigating uncharted territory.
Exactly. And partnerships can also boost innovation by bringing in different perspectives and ways of thinking. It can spark new ideas and lead to breakthroughs that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
So we've assessed, defined, innovated. What's the final piece of Le Lecture's framework? All right, so we've covered assessing the business landscape, defining core competencies, and innovating with intention. What's the final step in Lecture's framework?
Last but not least, monitor and adapt. It's about staying flexible, you know? Keep a close eye on how your strategies are doing and make adjustments as you go.
So you can't just make a plan and stick to it no matter what. You got to be ready to pivot if things aren't working out, especially with the economy being so unpredictable.
Exactly. It's like sailing a ship. You chart a course, but you're always adjusting the sails based on the wind, the currents, any unexpected obstacles. Right? Business is the same way. You have to be able to react to new information, adapt to changes, and make those course corrections.
Okay, so how do you actually monitor and adapt? What tools or techniques can businesses use?
Dave's your best friend here, Lexier. Really emphasizes data-driven decisions. By tracking those key performance indicators, those KPIs, you can get a clear picture of what's working and what's not.
KPIs, those are the metrics that measure progress towards a goal, right? Like website traffic, customer conversion rates, sales growth, that kind of thing.
You got it. By setting up a system to track those KPIs, you get real-time feedback on your strategies. If your website traffic dips, maybe you need to tweak your marketing or improve your website. Or if your conversion rates are low, could be a problem with your sales process or pricing.
So it's about using data to find areas for improvement and making changes quickly, being proactive instead of reactive.
Exactly. And this goes back to agility. Being able to adapt quickly is so important in uncertain times. By monitoring your data and making timely adjustments, you can stay ahead of the curve and grab those new opportunities.
This makes me think about digital transformation. It seems like technology plays a big part in monitoring and adapting. All those tools that help businesses collect and analyze data.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Digital transformation is a game changer when you're dealing with economic uncertainty. It's not just about adopting new tech. It's about using it to become more agile, data-driven, and customer-focused.
So use technology to help your team make better decisions, respond to customer needs, and make your operations more efficient.
Precisely. Think about e-commerce platforms. They give businesses a ton of data on customer behavior, what they buy, how they use the website, their preferences, all that. That data is super valuable for making smart decisions about product development, marketing, even pricing.
It's like you can see right into your customers' heads, understand their needs and what motivates them.
And it's not just e-commerce. There are tons of digital tools to help businesses monitor and adapt. Social media analytics, CRM systems, project management software, you name it.
Feels like technology is leveling the playing field. Even small businesses can access tools and insights that used to be only for big companies.
For sure. That's one of the best things about digital transformation. It gives businesses of all sizes a chance to compete globally.
This has been an incredible deep dive into innovation strategies for navigating economic uncertainty. We explored Lecture's four-step framework, assessing the landscape, defining core competencies, innovating with intention, and monitoring and adapting. And we saw how those principles work in real life.
We also saw how companies like Netflix and Starbucks, even with their different approaches, were able to successfully navigate those tough economic times by playing to their strengths, embracing innovation, and making strategic decisions.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners? What's the big lesson here?
Economic uncertainty is a part of life, but you don't have to let it stop you. Be strategic. Focus on what you do best. Embrace innovation and use technology to your advantage. You can turn those challenges into opportunities and come out stronger on the other side.
So be proactive, not reactive. Be informed, not overwhelmed. Have a plan, but be ready to adjust as you go.
You got it. And remember, these principles apply to your personal and professional life, too. Think about areas where you could expand your skills, explore new things, or streamline your routines. Be intentional. Keep learning. Keep adapting. And never stop growing.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it helpful and inspiring. Be sure to check out Lecture's blog for more great advice on dealing with uncertainty and driving innovation. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring.